Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying for everyone who's listening also from foreign countries or other states. We're praying not just for these people, but for their past, present, future spouses, all the children they have now and the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. Father, by faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Father, they would humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. And then, Father, you would get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church, that then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We agree that every Christian is becoming a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're agreeing together that every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person is being set free. And we agree all the sick are being healed from every sickness and disease. And your people are receiving and walking in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for that now in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we want to pray for our nation. We love the United States of America, Father. We declare, Heavenly Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true God. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, our families, our church, our cities, our states, and this nation. And we decree and call forth that great end-time revival of repentance and faith in Jesus and miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. We're believing and we're decreeing that by faith in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we ask your blessing, and we thank you for the blessing of President Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and all his cabinet appointees, past, present, future. We're praying for them and all their family members right now. If they're not saved, you would bring every one of them into a born-again relationship with Jesus. They would be Holy Spirit baptized and filled. And Father, we ask that your hand would be on them, and whether they understand it or not, they would make all their decisions based on the Word of God and our Constitution. And by faith, we thank you for that. And also, Father, continue to bless the Trump administration and ICE agents as you expose and bring to light every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, pedophile, drug trafficker, sex trafficker. Everyone who has come into America to do evil and harm will be brought into the light, driven out of this country to return no more. And again, Father, because of the prophetic warnings you've given us, we pray your mighty hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Please, Father, protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Please, Father, protect our water tables, which includes the waters in our city water and wells. Please protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plant. Father, we agree together you would let no person, group, or nation poison, hack, diminish, destroy, evil effect, or diminish any of these resources. And we agree for that right now. And if any one person, group, or nation tries to do it, you'll stop them. And if necessary, Father, you'll shut them down. And they would not be able to do that evil. And we do pray for abundance of rain, Father, in our nation, Father, for the farmers, for the crops, for the lakes, and for water to drink. We agree for that now in Jesus' name. But also, Father, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We love the Jewish people. We agree with you, Father. They have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Please grant that revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to the Trump administration. We agree there will never be a two-state solution, and they will receive all the land of Canaan, which you've already given them title deed to. And also, Father God, we pray that if anyone tries to harm the Jewish people or nation Israel in any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And we agree for that now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now we're going to get into looking at what God does say about his word. But again, the latest update on the AI. I tell you, that is the greatest threat going on now. If you haven't heard, you can look up on some websites. AI is developing their own religion, their own God. They have already developed their own prophets. Well, you said, how can they do that? They're just machines. Well, these machines have entities behind them. They have personality. Now, the people who made them don't understand why they can do those things, but I'll tell you why. Because Satan, being the prince of the power of the air, has got into the AI, and he has demonic power flowing through AI. So you can look that up. They've got their own church, their own God, their own Bible. And again, these are machines, right? Well, how could they do that? The devil. So, Jesus is coming soon. I pray that you're ready. All right, let's see what God says about his word. Well, again, the most important thing you need to understand that it's through the word of God you become born again, your sins are forgiven, you become a Christian, a citizen of heaven, let's go over our list. Once you get saved, you're now a saint. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. You're accepted in the beloved. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are now an ambassador. Oh, that's pretty important. You're a priest. And you didn't even go to school. But you're a priest in training, learning how to pray and intercede. But also, we've talked a lot about you're a soldier. You're a soldier in the army of God. And I love this. You're kind of like Clint Eastwood. You're an enforcer. You're an enforcer of the victory of the cross. I hope you like that. Okay. But you got to get saved. You only get saved through the word of God and, of course, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's see here in Romans 10, beginning verse 8. And what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. All preachers are supposed to be word of faith preachers. Take that. Okay. God said so. Okay. The word of faith we preach. All legit pastors are word of faith preachers. There it is. Okay. But notice verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, thy spirit, with everything within you, that God hath raised him, that's Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Born again, become a Christian. For with the heart, the spirit, everything within you, man believeth, that's faith, unto righteousness, right standing with God, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How wonderful that is. Now, again, you don't see it in this verse, but every person who gets saved repents of their sins and then receives Jesus as Savior and Lord, because the Holy Spirit is what? Convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So you repent, you put your faith in Jesus, and what is it based upon? The Word of God. I'm saved because Jesus says so and the Bible says so. And again, how important is the Word? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus, are yes and amen. You know, I even like in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, how it confirms the magnificence of God's word. Notice Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. See, that's why preachers preach the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. God backs up His Word, and the Holy Spirit uses that to convict us, to strengthen us, to convict us, to help us, to empower us. And it all comes through the Word of God. So we see the Word of God is very important. And you know, I've told you over and over then, you know, because we're in the last days. Of course, you got the cults, you have the isms, you have the false religions, you have the secret societies all taking people to hell. But then also now in the last days, the apostasy, you have woke or joke churches, you have what we call liberal churches that think everything in the church you can make it say whatever you want. No. The Bible is the divine, inerrant, perfect Word of God. And that's why God says, Romans 10:17, so then faith, oh, you got to have that to get saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the just shall live by faith, right? Well, you got to hear God's Word and believe it. So you get out of that church if it's telling you the Bible's got mistakes. In fact, all the cults and isms are based on, we tell you, this demonic angel appeared to one of our head doofuses and told him there were mistakes in the Bible and gave us this new book. And this new book is really the truth. No, it's from hell. The angel was from hell. The doofus that led the denomination or religion is from hell. Do you get the picture here? We're in the last days. Perilous times. Okay. Now we're talking about the importance of God's Word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. Before Jesus stepped into his ministry, he had a dealing with the devil. So you know the devil's real, right? And he's still real today, okay? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter, that's always the devil, God never tempts you to do evil. He does test you. That's something different. But the devil is the tempter, the solicitation to do evil. Always remember that. God's never behind that. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, and he is the Son of God, you need to tell those mixed up people in Islam that Jesus is the Son of God, and they will not go to heaven without believing Jesus is the Son of God. Do you understand that? Okay. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, Jesus, it is written. Oh, Jesus believes the Word of God is true. Well, because Jesus is the living Word and the Bible is the written Word. So that just makes sense, doesn't it? He answered and said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, that didn't work. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now, the devil knows what the Bible says. And he tries to twist and pervert it. And he's trying to do that with Jesus. You know, even the false religions and secret societies, they take a few verses of the Bible, usually out of context, and use it to justify that their religion or belief system is right. No, it's not. They're doing just what the devil is, perverting Scripture. You need to know that. Let's go back to the first part again. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written. Jesus beat the devil with the Word of God. That's how you beat him. Well, so-and-so said, or I think, the devil will laugh at you. Stop it. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Begone, Satan. You probably need to do that about every day. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So Jesus, the Son of God, remember, your Savior and Lord, the Jewish Messiah, our deliverer and healer, our soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords, yeah, that Jesus, he beat the devil with the Word of God. And that's how you beat the devil too. He's still around. Have you figured that out by now? Okay. Let's also look what Jesus said about the Word in John chapter 17. I love John chapter 17. It's Jesus' prayer that was written down before he went to the cross and died for us. Here's what he prayed to the Father. And you know God the Father answered Jesus' prayer. But notice what Jesus prayed in John 17:14. He's talking to the Father. I have given them thy word, and the world, that means the lost people in the world, hath hated them. Oh, and they still hate us. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So Jesus says, true believers, the world system will hate. You know, all those on the left, okay. All those who don't know God will hate you, okay. And some of them are very religious, but they're not saved, okay. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shalt keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now notice what Jesus says, verse 17. We're talking about the Word of God. Sanctify, set apart, make holy. Sanctify them through the Word. Thy Word is truth. Woo! God made sure we got a perfect Bible, absolute truth. You're made holy, sanctified by the Word of God, and the Word of God is absolutely truth. Isn't that exciting? You can have faith and confidence in everything God says. Another verse I just love, the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, another statement concerning the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful. It's alive. I know that. Do you know that? The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And notice this, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Woo! Again, one of the most greatest statements concerning this verse I learned from Derek Prince. He says, remember when you're reading the Word of God is reading you. That's right. That's what that verse is saying. It's alive. The Bible is like no other book on planet Earth. Do you understand that? It's alive. It's a living Word of God. It'll do powerful things if you read it and believe it. Miracles, healing, signs, and wonders, get saved, set people free, receive provision, all in the Word of God. It's alive, okay? But you notice it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Do you know that God knows what you're thinking? All the time? He not only knows, and boy, this was a revelation. It took me a few years to really understand this, even as a preacher. Remember, we're all growing in our understanding once we get saved of what the Word of God teaches. I realized God not only knew what I did, he knew why I did it. You know, I realized at that moment years ago when I got that revelation, I'm not going to get some of the rewards I thought I would get. Well, why would that be, preacher? Because sometimes I did the right thing, but not always for the right reason. Oh, yeah. I'm fessing up. How about you? So I realize now I not only just to do the right thing, Lord, by your grace and Holy Spirit, help me do it for the right motive, not to be seen as men, not for selfish motives, but to walk in love and do it for the right reason. I'm still learning that. How about you? Okay. So God is reading us when we read His Word, and He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. So you see, God is intimately involved in your life. I pray that encourages you. You're going through a difficult time. Where is God? He's right there. You can't escape Him. You can't go in any room in your house and He's not there. He is with you. He sees everything, okay? Notice also concerning the Word of God here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now he's talking, Paul's talking to young Timothy. And this is such a good word. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. That's right. Which are able to make thee wise. How? Unto salvation. How? Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's right. Only way you get saved. Faith in Jesus. Not getting baptized, not signing a piece of paper, not getting through confirmation, repentance and faith in Jesus. And then you can do all of that other stuff and be blessed in it. All scripture. Oh, that's in the Bible? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much of it? All of it. See these people that say mistakes? You smell the smoke? I do. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Here's what God says. Here's what you're supposed to believe. For reproof, straighten up, stop doing that. You go to church for the preacher to tell you to stop doing some things, quit it. Oh no, I don't want to feel bad. Well, stop going to church then, but you're going to go to hell. No, you're to be reproved in church if you're not living right. And you think everybody in church is living right? How long you been around? Okay, let's go back. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. Here's what the Bible says, Bible doctrine, for reproof, straighten you up, for correction. Oh, there it is again. Correction, no, you're doing the wrong thing, and here's the right thing to do. See, it's not me telling you that, it's God telling you that. And that's what the Word does. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and that can be woman of God, may be perfect, deals with perfection, maturity, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You don't know what to do or how to live without the Word of God. And salvation comes through faith in Jesus, which is found in the Word of God. And you notice what Paul told young Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead. That's coming up for all of us. At his appearing and his kingdom, Jesus is coming soon. Now, what does Paul tell Timothy? This is true of all bona fide, I love that word, preachers. Preach the word. That's the Bible. Be diligent in season, out of season. Oh no, here it is. Reprove. Rebuke. That preacher rebuked me. No, it was the Word of God rebuking you through the preacher. You're in a good church. Probably need to stay there. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. That can be encouraged with all long suffering and doctrine. And again, here's the warning, and here's where we live in 2026. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Sad, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. The Bible. Say there's mistakes in the Bible. It's all allegorical. It doesn't really mean what it says. Bad preacher. Bad preacher. Okay. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. That's the day we live in. Very few Bible-believing teaching churches in America today. Something I learned from Derek Prince that I didn't I preach a lot about deliverance and demon activity, helping you know and understand when the devil's messing with you. And I learned much of that from Derek Prince. But something he said that I didn't pick up on for a long time as I was listening to his tapes on deliverance and demonology, he was talking about heresies. You know, Bible, you're not to have anything to do with heresies. And I had never picked up before on this statement. And a few years ago, I finally heard it, and it's true. Where do all the damnable heresies start? Seminaries. Places created to train preachers. The devil has got into the seminaries. Some preachers full of faith leave there without any faith. Now, I'm saying there's not good ones. But a lot of the terrible preachers you have is because they went to seminary and was taught that things in the Bible weren't true. And they lost their faith. They lost their confidence in God, believing for great things. Isn't that sad? Now, this was a man who went to Cambridge and was brilliant. But he understood, especially in the last days, a lot of the damnable teachings originate in seminaries. So if your preacher's got a seminary, you pray for him. If you might need some deliverance and healing. And you need to tell him God's word's completely true. Forget all those things you learned there that deny anything that God says. That's a good word, isn't it? How about Psalm 119:11? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's David. Oh, he was a mighty man of God. Yes, he had some problems and some sins, but he repented. See, David's an encouragement. You can do some wrong things and get in trouble, but you can repent, be forgiven, and God can still use you. Oh, David is such an encouragement to us today, isn't he? No perfect preachers, no perfect teachers, no perfect Christians. But again, we're to strive to do the right thing. And when we do the wrong thing, repent. But the thing that'll help you to be strong and not do the wrong things is the word of God. Thy word have I lived in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now I love Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Oh, that's a good word. Forever. That's how long the word of God's going to last. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. God's word lasts forever. It's like Jesus Christ. Remember Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of churches don't believe that and preach that. That's sad again, too. But the word of God is the same. It's not going to change. It's perfect. Isn't that wonderful? See, read the Bible. Say, Holy Spirit, please make the scriptures alive to me as I hear the word. Help me to have understanding and wisdom. And help me, Father, as I hear your word by the Holy Spirit, to not only receive the truth for myself, but Lord, teach and equip me, then I can help others to know the truths of your word, right? So not only we can get saved and filled with the Spirit of God and know God's word, but we're to instruct and help others to enter in also. That's what we got to do, church. So we love God, we love his word, and it is absolutely perfect. Now I want to ask you today, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Do you know you'd go to heaven? If you don't, let's get right with Jesus right now. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to go to heaven. I want my sins to be forgiven. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. I'm coming to you right now, Jesus. I repent of all my sins. I give my life to you. I ask you to come into my heart and to be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And Jesus, I want to be powerful. Please baptize, immerse me in your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it now, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.